Welcome to Toadstools and Garlic Cloves. I am your host, Dorothy, joined monthly by my co-host, Samantha, and I invite you to join us as we hunt down cryptids, explore the paranormal, and dive into lore from around the globe. So sit back and relax as I lead you on a weekly adventure of this strange and creepy world that we call home.
I want to say that I'm super excited because you're my first guest.
Yeah, it's the first thing I've been on as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I haven't been approached before.
Yeah, because I know I commented on one of your posts and I was like, oh my god, I've done an episode of this. And you're just like, do you do guests? I was like, yes.
Yeah.
So I was super excited about that.
Yeah, it should be good.
Awesome. Well, first off, I want to say welcome to Toadstools and Garlic Cloves.
Thanks.
It's just me today. I know sometimes I'll have my co-host comes on monthly, but she wasn't able to.
I have listened to a few episodes.
Okay. Yeah. So it's just me. I don't know if you just wanted to kick it off and what we're going to be talking about and where in the world it is.
Oh yeah. Black Shuck in East Anglia, isn't it?
Yes. So you're the one who suggested it and I had no idea what it was.
Yeah, it's quite a big thing over here, though. There's a lot of forums.
Yeah, I realized that after I started looking into it. I actually have a book about it.
Oh, I've got a few, actually.
So, did you just want to start us off, or...?
Yeah, if we start on the Black Shuck, it's all around East Anglia, which is the eastern side of England. And it's kind of just your typical hellhound, really. Shaggy black hair, glowing red eyes, size of a calf, and it's kind of the same for all of them. But we've got our own local versions, and then there's Welsh ones as well. But I think Black Shuck's the biggest one, isn't it?
Yeah, I noticed that Black Shuck was the biggest one in East... Did you say East Anglia, or...?
East Anglia, which is just like the eastern part of England.
Okay. I just want to make sure I said it right.
Yeah.
I definitely watched a few YouTube things and got on some websites. I was able to find the Folklore Podcast by Mark Norman.
I think I might have checked that one out. I'm not sure.
Yeah, because his is the book that I actually have, The Black Dog Folklore.
Oh, yeah.
I read that chapter of the show.
Yeah, I do recognize that name.
Yeah, it was really, really interesting.
Yeah, it was, actually.
What piqued your interest in the Black Shuck?
Oh, we got our own local version called the Wish Hound.
Ooh.
Which is basically the same, apart from they have no head, apparently. And they glow. Have you heard of them?
They glow?
Yeah, they glow black. I don't know how it's possible, but... yeah.
I like it.
Do you know what I say one of these boards? Or Heathland? Anything like that? Can't imagine you got that in America.
No, I mean... I did see that there was a few mentions of black dogs in the United States, and there is one in Latin America, but mostly the black dogs are the British Isles is what I've been picking up.
Yeah, well, I think it's also quite big in Scandinavia and Eastern Europe, though, which probably where it came over from.
Yeah, I noticed there was a lot of reference of dramatic, possibly.
Yeah, do you see anything about Church Grimms?
I didn't.
Oh, they're basically the same, but they guard hallowed ground, so like churchyards, chapels, anything like that. But they're, you know, good, not bad. But it can also be stuff like pigs, sheep, and basically identical, really. But yeah, they guard churches all across Scandinavia and England, supposedly.
Oh, that's cool. Have you ever had any sightings of said dogs?
No, but we've had quite a lot of stuff which it could be. See, there's a lot of sightings up where I live, but we've also had a lot of animals escape from zoos and like private collections. But 2 years ago, maybe, we had a lynx run off from one of the zoos. Which might be some of the newer sightings could have been from stuff like that. Got a lot of big cat stories up here.
That was what I was about to ask about, is that I've heard, I don't remember what I was watching when it mentioned that there is, at one point in time, there was a private zoo or a person that had cats that just let them go.
Yeah, I think it's quite common there. It's cracking down, want to get rid of it, so they just let it off on the moors, which
Yeah, that's what.
Well, you got tons of it.
Yeah, that's. I found that interesting too.
Yeah.
So you haven't. Oh, you saw not necessarily any black dogs. No, or do you have any stories?
I haven't seen any in particular, but it's quite big around where I live. There's a lot of it.
I did see something when I was over in Ireland.
Oh, did you?
I did. Have my own little story. I know Ireland is a little bit different, but I was over there for 3 months on an archaeological dig, and yeah. One of my co-interns and I were just walking in this field, and it was during the day. We're just walking along. We just see this big, shaggy German Shepherd-like dog just standing in a distance, and I see it. I'm just like, I have this like weird feeling. She sees it. We look at each other. We look back, and then it's like gone. And
it's supposed to be a omen, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it was just weird. We just like we just kind of did the thing where we're just like we're just gonna ignore that we saw that.
Yeah.
Because there was nowhere for it to like hide, so yeah. We would have seen a dog running. We couldn't find it again. We never saw it again, and it was a very small town, so.
Yeah, I can't imagine that being a sheepdog or anything, because they're fairly small.
No, yeah, there weren't really any sheep either where we were at. Yeah, we were in Trim, Ireland, so there wasn't really much going on over there.
Yeah, I mean, I that would be a stray either, because...
It looked very clean, like, taken care of. So that's why I was, like, really confused. But a lot of people had dogs. It's just that we never saw that dog ever again. And that was in the first month that we were there. So we were there for 3 months.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that is kind of weird. But...
Yeah. And we were like instantly just like thought that it was like a fairy dog.
Yeah, I got a lot of weird fairy stuff over here.
That was old
pagan stuff.
That was the mindset that we saw. We're just like, okay, you know what? It's fine.
Yeah. So did you get anything about the first sighting then?
So the Black Shuck first sighting?
Yeah.
Are you talking about the famous sighting in 1597 or the one in the 1200s?
Oh, I didn't get anything about 1200.
Yeah. So let me see if I can find it in my note. Oh, there it is. So... this is what struck me as interesting, because there was a weird sighting in the town of Peterborough.
Yeah.
And it described huntsmen who came thundering into town on black horses and he-goats with hounds that were jet black with glowing big saucer eyes.
Oh, yeah, I got that. The Wild Hunt.
Yes. So that was the first written text was 1127.
Oh, yeah.
And then I just started taking notes on the Wild Hunt.
Yeah, it's supposedly run by Odin, isn't it? It's a Norse thing.
So they did say Norse, but also I have not Odin, but Anwen, which would be Welsh mythology.
Yeah.
And it is either way associated with the Wild Hunt.
Yeah. See, that really is really similar to the Wish Hounds I brought up, because they're basically either hunting the souls of unbaptized children, or they are the unbaptized children hunting down their parents, and they're either led by the devil or Sir Francis Drake. I don't know if you know who that is.
I do not.
Oh, he's a pirate who used to work for the Queen and royalty, but apparently dabbled in witchcraft. Fight off the Spanish Armada. So apparently he leads a wild hunt of his own.
That's super interesting.
Yeah.
No, I went the other way with the Welsh mythology, so I didn't get into learning about the are you calling them wish hounds? Or
wished. It's
okay.
Old English or something.
Okay, yeah, because with the Welsh Wild Hunt, Arwen, which was a king, would let his hounds loose to hunt mundane creatures, and on specific nights with the Wild Hunt, which was in autumn and winter most of the times, they would just hunt the wrongdoers. In the Welsh mythology, the hounds were white with red ears.
Yeah, I think I heard about that, because they used to associate red with death, Well, most people do that with black.
Yeah, so the Celts with the color red was associated with death, but the color white was associated with the supernatural.
Yeah, and then got invaded and it all changed.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that when Christianity took over, the Wild Hunt turned into it being led by the devil, and the hounds got turned into the hounds of hell.
Yeah, because they didn't really like the pagan religion, tried to get rid of it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I found it interesting because it took me a while to even get back that far because a lot of what I was finding was that legend that happened in the 1500s at the
Yeah,
church.
that 1577, I think it was.
Yes. Did you take.
Yeah, I couldn't find out whether it happened in Bungay or Blythra because they sound pretty much identical.
Oh, yeah. So apparently it happened on the same night.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so what I was finding out was that he started in Bungay. I probably said that wrong,
No,
sorry.
I think that's how you pronounce it.
And then burst through the doors with a clap of thunder. And he didn't kill anyone there, but he just ran around and caused a ruckus.
Yeah.
And apparently one of the steeples collapsed into the main church area because it was a huge thunderstorm and lightning storm that was happening.
Yeah, this is the worst one, one of the worst ones in British history.
Yeah, and then apparently 12 miles away, so he runs 12 miles away to the other one, and that's where he is waiting in the
Is Blythburgh? Is
what?
that the one in Blythburgh?
Yeah, so that one happened after the Bungay one.
Yeah.
And he was just waiting in the rafters, jumped down, and that's when he killed one of the older men and boys. And then that is the place that when he left scorch marks on the doors.
Yeah, they're still there, aren't they?
I find that really interesting because that was when the storm was happening. So
Yeah.
I noticed that a lot of people were putting the stories together, but I was able to find a few sources that were able to ascertain that it was two separate incidents on the same night.
Yeah, it's quite weird, really. Like some people say it's more of a guardian thing and helps lost travelers, but.
That's what I was finding also was that this seemed to be one of the few times that the Black Shuck was not good. It was just not a good dog.
Yeah, that wrung the necks of two people, so.
Yeah, but then that got me hunting into some more stuff, and definitely Mark Norman's book, Black Dog Folklore.
Yeah.
He actually got into the possibility that there are actually two main types of black dogs in Britain. There's the true black dog, which are the guardian types. And
Yeah.
then the Barguest type, which is like the black shuck, which changes shapes and is more dangerous.
Yeah, kind of weird, but I didn't find anything on that.
Yeah, it took me a while to find that. I think I did 4 hours of research last night.
Oh,
So it took me a while, but I
yeah.
did find that there is a difference. So there's the black dogs that could be mistaken as regular dogs, but those are the ones that are usually helpful and more guardian
Yeah.
type. And then there's the Shuck or the Barguest type, and that's the one that's linked to the Wild Hunt.
Yeah. Did you get where the name Shuck comes from?
Yes and no. I
Yeah.
wasn't sure. Did
Well, I
you?
got. Yeah, I got it. It comes from the old English word for devil or fiend, shucker. That's about all I got about it. What about you?
Yeah, that's what I have written down. I also have the word Shucky, which means shaggy, unkempt hair.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting because the black shuck or the Barguest types have the shaggy hair.
Yeah, I also got that he only has one eye in some reports. Well, look.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I thought that was pretty weird.
I found that super interesting because also, as you mentioned earlier too, there was also the reports of it not having a head.
Yeah, a bit weird.
Yeah.
Obviously, I can't imagine that being symbolic or anything.
Yeah, I don't know why it didn't have a head.
Yeah.
I just found that odd.
It's like they have like regional differences, really.
That's what I was coming across, is that there's a lot of regional differences, but the most consistent appearances is that it's a larger black dog looking animal with shaggy hair and glowing eyes.
Yeah, it's quite. I think that's one of the more prominent features of it. They always tend to pop up.
Yeah.
That's more like the East Anglian one, so
Is
I
that
don't
what
know.
the East England one looks like?
Yeah, that's the same as that. And then you've got the one down in Dartmoor with no heads.
Yeah. So I'm kind of wondering if, like, because I know that there's a legend or an omen that says that if you look into the Black Shuck's eyes, you'll basically have 1 year left to live.
Yeah, I got that, but it says if you survive the night, which, you know, if you survive the encounter with it, you only got 1 year left.
I know I was listening to something that just said, during that time, anything could kill you. So.
Yeah, quite easy. So, but yeah, that kind of contributes to it being seen as like an ill omen.
Yeah,
And
that's probably how it came to be, though, is like someone was like, I saw a black shuck, and then they like died 2 days later.
yeah, it even appears in Harry Potter, to be honest, with the Grim as well. I
Okay,
don't know if
yeah.
you get the reference,
Yeah, that was
but
also something that I was coming across is that it seemed like almost everywhere has some sort of black dog legend, and it seems like they're getting all lumped in together.
yeah, because it sounds like quite a common thing, really.
Yeah, that was what I was coming across, was that it's common, but also there isn't a lot of stuff about it.
No, it's kind of like one sighting or story, and then that's about it.
And I found that really interesting, is that either people like see the black dog and don't realize they see the black dog, and then later they are like, oh, that's what I saw,
Yeah.
or they grew up in an area that has a legend or lore about it.
Yeah. Did you get anything about the bones they found?
I did find that the
Yeah.
Leiston Abbey
Yeah.
excavation.
12 miles from Bungay.
Oh, was it that close?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But
Did you take notes of
apparently,
that?
yeah, apparently it just belonged to one of the vicars. But 7 foot dog, quite uncommon even back then, though.
Yeah, that's what I put down, was that they found that it was most likely buried before the original building was put there, and
Yeah.
it was just a large dog skeleton.
Pretty huge for a dog back then, really, though.
Well, that's what they were saying, was that it's possible that it just had an abnormality where it was just a bigger proportion domesticated farm dog.
Yeah, I mean, we get that now as well, though.
Yeah, exactly. So it is possible that it was just a farm dog, person's pet.
It's quite a weird coincidence. Seems where it's situated, though.
Yeah, that is true. I did write that down, that it is kind of a coincidence. But also, there were some YouTube things I was watching and some websites I was on that they were also talking about the possibility of those attacks in the
Yeah.
1500s, or yeah, 1570, was it 1577?
Yeah, 15-77.
That because that was one of the worst storms, that could have just actually been a stray dog that got scared and then was one of those large dogs that just got scared and just kind of rampaged.
It could have like rabies or something, went a bit feral.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, back then,
Just
don't
anything like
seem too uncommon.
I found it interesting. I just find it interesting how long the myth has been around and that it's so widespread.
Yeah, what was your most modern sighting that you got?
The most modern thing I had was the 2014 excavation.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I got Norfolk in 2000. That's still in East Anglia. Someone's driving down the motorway and basically just saw it run across the road and completely vanish.
Oh, that's creepy.
But yeah, it's still in the East Anglia area. So yeah, it's the most modern thing I got. But the
I
rest
wonder
seems
if
to be
that's
quite old.
just in the chapter, because I never finished the chapter in the book.
Yeah.
But he did have stories in there. Mark Norman had stories in his book, and I found them
Yeah.
really interesting.
Yeah, I know this came from somebody who wasn't an author. I don't know if it was Mark Norman, though. Might have been.
I wonder. Yeah, I didn't really get into. I listened to half of the podcast that was about the chapter, and then only read half the chapter, so I only got through half,
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah,
But
I just looking around and stuff, really, and getting a lot.
wasn't necessarily hard to find anything, but it was hard to find anything going past that 1577 date.
Yeah, it's hard to find like new stuff that wasn't the same as the rest.
Yeah. Oh, one thing that I did note was that sometimes with the sightings, it would be a dog that had a clinking chain around its neck, or you could hear the chain while it was walking by. And it seemed like those were the shucks or the Barguest types. And or I also found Padfoot, so it's called Padfoot also.
There's quite a lot of names for it, though. More like
Yeah.
regional thing. If they were the same, I'm not sure. But
Well, that was what I was thinking. It's like obviously there's those two types, but it seems like the shape-shifting one was the Barguest type, and that was definitely the more supernatural because there was a in like New Yorkshire, or I'm sorry, North Yorkshire, it says that legend says that it can take forms of a mastiff, a pig, a calf, or a large donkey. And then in Byland Abbey, which is in North Yorkshire, there was a 15th century ghost that transformed from a crow to a dog with a chain around its neck to a flaming shape to a moaning goat and then to a man.
Yeah, I know we've got one down here that turns into a huge black pig. But
Oh.
yeah, Judge Jeffreys, I think he's called.
That's cool.
Yeah, we've got quite a lot of it, stuff like that down here.
I know. And then also, what I was noticing was that the lore that surrounded the black dog when it was called Padfoot, it seems like the Padfoot, they have horns.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so in the Wakefield Padfoot, it's the size of a calf. It has those huge saucer-like eyes. It has horns that spar that come out of its head and a shaggy coat. And in this one, it was pursued by Gabriel's hounds, which are basically the Wild Hunt hounds.
Oh, wow.
That last sighting of that, though, was in 1766.
Yeah, there's not many recent ones that are as big as the
No,
ones in
but in
Suffolk, like the Bungay ones, or just minor sightings, really.
I
But
know
one thing that
that.
could be, though, is wolves. Could have just been a large one of those.
So that was also, I didn't write it down, but that's also what I was thinking was that I didn't get into looking up when the last wolves were in the British Isles.
It's
So I
the
know that they
18th
were
century, I
hunted.
think.
When was it?
18th century.
Okay, that would
Yeah,
make
we had them
sense.
killed.
That would definitely make a lot of sense.
Yeah, so it would have definitely been around for the 1577 one. So it could have just been a large, feral one of them.
Yeah, it could have been, or it could be a crossbreed of a wolf and a mastiff or something. Make it bigger.
Wouldn't be too uncommon.
No, it wouldn't be. I know that there are a lot of stories about that. I just like how it changes color. Like it started out like in the Wild Hunt as a white dog, and then all of a sudden it's a black dog.
It's kind of what they associate the colours with, though. Yeah, because the Celts, red was death, and then when the Vikings took over and stuff changed, I guess it changed to black.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, well, I feel like it turned black with the Christian influences later because they always associated black with evil. And there was also mention of the black hounds and the shuck being witches' familiars and or the devil itself.
Yeah, I think it's more like the anything that's directly opposite to the Christian religion is seen as evil. Like,
Yeah.
going about 3 a.m. being the ungodly hour, it's just because it's the complete opposite of when Jesus was crucified, I think.
Well,
Even
that's
though you
out
got
of my
the fake
realm
crosses.
knowing.
Oh, I don't know. I know this, but yeah, it's just the opposite, really.
No, yeah, I know that's something that I've noticed in most lore is that once Christianity takes place, a lot of the lore is it's changed to represent their forms of evil or yeah, basically evil. There was also something else that I noticed in here. Oh, that the black dog or the shuck is always associated with, it's in autumn and winter when there's the most like lightning storms or howling winds.
Yeah. I wonder if it causes that or the, you know, it comes along with the weather.
Yeah, that's what I was noticing was that, I think it was in either, I think it was in Mark Norman's folklore podcast, that he mentioned that basically during that time, you always have these stories, these lore, and they have all obviously alternate meanings. So when you want to have people not die in winter storms or anything like that, you're not going to be like, don't go outside, it's cold. You're going to say, don't go outside, the black shuck's there.
Oh, so it's like a moral story then.
Yes, so it turned, that's what he was thinking. That's how it started, was that the cold, the north winds would just be howling, and that howling would be the wild hunt, and you don't want to go outside during the wild hunt.
Yeah.
But it's really in reference to, don't go outside, it's freaking cold out there.
Yeah. Call that a baby type thing, man.
Yeah, I found that societal view really interesting.
Yeah, I did as well, actually. It pops up a lot in culture, really.
Mm-hmm.
Songs about it, football teams, pubs, you got the home to the basket, it was based on it.
Yeah, I kept on hearing about it. I didn't look that up. Were you able to take any notes of it?
No, I just didn't, you know. Koi, the darkness, I got a song based on it, and then the whole of how the basketball revolves around it. So it's quite a big thing.
Yeah, I, in my first notes, I wrote down that the darkness has a song called The Black Shuck.
Yeah, I didn't get around to listening to it, though.
I listened to the first minute.
Was it worth it, or was it?
I found it interesting. It's not my style of music, but...
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I do have a super recent thing. In June 2019, a year. So a graphic novel was published about the legend of the Black Shuck.
Yeah.
So I saw some photos of that, and it looked really interesting. So it's called The Burning Black, Legend of the Black Shuck.
Yeah, I also saw short films being made about it, all kinds of stuff on YouTube.
I saw that too. I saw that there was a short horror film that came out a few years ago. I watched the trailer for it.
Yeah.
And it was scary.
Yeah, I hope so.
I was like, I can't watch this at 10 o'clock at night.
Is it still kind of relevant today then?
That's what they were talking about in the trailer, and how that movie was supposed to show a portrayal of more psychological and mental health that was happening, and how I guess there was something that had to do with, in the movie, she lost her daughter, but she kept on seeing a black dog and then her daughter's voice. Yeah.
So it's more like a paranoia thing.
Yeah, it was definitely something along those lines.
That could, you know, link to some of the signs, I guess. More like insomnia, paranoia. But
definitely.
I wouldn't put that up to the ones in Bungay, the scratch marks and the deaths.
So what they said about those were, they weren't sure about the deaths. Like they said, was probably a rogue dog or hybrid that just kind of burst through the doors because it was a super bad storm going on. Yeah. But they said the scorch marks could have been could have just been lightning hitting the church.
Yeah, I saw they might be a candle that they dropped on it, but it really doesn't look like it.
Yeah, there's that. But
and I don't know what the steeple could be. I guess that could be lightning, but
Yeah, that's what they said, is that the steeple most likely got hit by lightning because of.
Yeah.
And that's how, I guess it was because of that legend. If there's any bad storms out, the Black Shuck will come.
Yeah, I've also seen a lot of stuff related to the devil and kind of being like a follower of it. Like when the devil turns up, he does.
It's always seen at night during lightning storms or just at night, but also at crossroads.
Yeah, I saw something about that.
And the crossroads are where you make a pact with demons.
Yeah, though I've seen that a lot of people think the psychic nature of the earth is weakest at roads.
I don't think
how that works, though. But
I don't know how it works, but all I know is that crossroads and those type of roads, that's where.
Yeah, I find that weird, though, because they used to, any suicides that happened, they'd bury them at the crossroads so they wouldn't know where to go if they came back.
And oh, that's interesting. I feel like I knew that.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard about that. But yeah, it's quite common here.
I feel like I knew that. It was buried in the back of my mind.
Yeah, it's quite a pick on here called Jay's Grave, but basically flowers are always popping up there and no one knows. She's been putting them down for years.
Aww.
And, you know, she killed herself in the barn years and years ago, like 200 at least. But still, there's flowers been put down, black dog sightings, everything really.
Oh, what else did I find? Is that, oh, I remember where it was. It basically, there was something that said that any type of domestic manifestation, so like manifestations in a house or anything like that, would not be the Black Shuck, even though people say that they see black dogs or anything like that.
Yeah, I've heard of that, and it kind of comes like toe in toe with ghosts.
Yeah, I know what?
So we've got this grave of a guy called Squire Cabell. He's buried around the 15th century, and basically he's a really horrible man. And they pretty much, they put a huge slab of stone over his grave, so because they're worried he was going to rise from the dead. You know, that's how much they thought of him. And even now, there's a huge tomb around it and a chain link fence. Because people have been seeing humanoid figures, black dogs, and everything around his grave for years. Church was even burnt down by Satanists. So black dogs do seem to pop up quite a lot.
That's interesting. Because I know what I was reading in the book, there's an account in Stanycliffe? I don't know. And, yeah. But it was a man. I mean, it was a home that was frequented by a demon that had a black dog. But it was dismissed not being a shuck because, even though it has similar characteristics, this is one of the few that the manifestations of the dogs are in a domestic haunting, and it most likely is either a demon, a poltergeist, or something along those lines, and not the Black Shuck.
Yeah, I've never heard of a poltergeist like taking on any form.
Really?
Yeah, I've always just thought of it as an, you know, invisible entity.
Well, it was talking about how things would move and that type of thing. So I don't know if, say, there was a ghost in this home, and then when some sort of demon or ghost dog came around, it turned it into a poltergeist. I don't know. I didn't really look into it that much.
I think one thing that the shark reminds me of is Cerberus, you know, from Greek mythology.
Yes.
Got a lot of similarities.
There were a lot of similarities, except for I would think that because Cerberus was a god.
I don't think he was a god. He was, I don't know. I think he was same level as Pegasus.
Yeah, I always put Cerberus as like a guardian type hound.
Yeah, you guard the gates of hell and lead the souls of the dead to hell. It wasn't evil or anything.
No. He was just doing his job.
Yeah, he's very similar to the shark, though.
He was a good doggy.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the most similar mythological creatures that kept on popping up in the research that I was doing was Gabrielle's hounds, which were the offshoot of her and the hunter's hounds, which was part of the Wild Hunt.
Yeah, so pagan mythology is quite different, though.
Yeah.
It's weird, because it's like they've kind of merged the two. You know, the black hounds is kind of a byproduct of it.
That's kind of where I actually have a note saying perhaps this is when the legend was born.
Yeah, see, I think it came over from Scandinavia with the Church Grimm. That is technically just a black shark, but you know, got a slightly different role. They could have just come over with the Vikings when they invaded
It's
and
true.
took over. So, you know, the Anglo-Saxons. Yeah. Because British culture is kind of like a mash of others, because we got invaded so many times and invaded other places so much. But,
Yeah, I
yeah.
agree. It's definitely a mashup of a ton of different types.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was hard just to kind of pull out just like untie that like mangled mashup of everything just to get into the black shuck, because I had noticed that there is a difference between black dogs and the black shuck, but it took me a while to find it.
Yeah, cause the black dogs really are common all over England. British Isles, really. But the black shuck tends to just be in East Anglia. I don't know why, but you know, we've got the wish hounds down here in Dartmoor. Yeah, it's kind of a regional thing, like I said earlier.
Yeah, definitely. I did find that interesting.
Yeah, I don't know if it's common up throughout the world, though. I don't think so.
No, it really isn't.
Could
Definitely
be.
more British Isles and the Black Shuck and East Anglia.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't have dogs in America back then, till we brought them over.
Yeah, that was also the other thing is that the only thing that I was seeing that had to do with the United States was, and then also they said a black dog, but I was thinking that was most likely one of the big cats.
Yeah.
And then there was also sightings in Latin America, but it was more of a goat-like creature, so they think it was the chupacabra.
Yeah, I'm getting confused what Chupacabra actually is now. There's so many different descriptions of it.
Oh yeah, chupacabra, fun.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to realize.
But there was something in Mark Norman's book about one of the sightings in Latin America, because it was a shaggy black goat-like creature that possibly looked like a dog, but had those big saucer-like eyes. But they said
Yeah.
they're the size of tortillas, which I found funny.
Yeah, I've
But
also heard of the eyes being black, and then it's most commonly red and glowing.
yeah, I was gonna say, I didn't hear anything or read anything about them being black. I read that they were glowing and were commonly red, green, or sometimes yellow.
Yeah, I didn't hear about yellow, but I saw black pop up a few times.
Yeah, I never saw that pop up, but also I know that when you shine a light in an animal's eyes, when it's dark out, they're going to be red or green glowing.
Yeah, but it doesn't explain how it could be like a saucer, though. And that's pretty weird.
I don't know about that. I think that a lot of people are talking about just given the time and the superstitions that were going on, you just add a black dog at night with glowing eyes, and people don't understand why the eyes are glowing.
Yeah.
And the eyes just look bigger sometimes at night.
Yeah, it's weird, though. There's a lot of weird myths and legends about dogs in British culture, so it could have just been a weird mix of stories.
Yeah. But I mean, like I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, I believe that I had seen one.
That does
So
sound pretty realistic.
that's the other thing is that a lot of definitely starting this podcast, and I've been researching cryptids and sightings and things like that for a long time, a lot of sightings can be attributed to just regular animals or people misidentifications. But there's truly those weird sightings that you're just like, I don't know how to explain that.
Stuff like chupacabra can't really attribute to an animal.
Oh, the chupacabra is definitely a different thing. I'm going to be definitely doing a podcast about that. My co-host really likes the chupacabra, and that was one of the first few cryptids I've looked into years ago.
Yeah.
Just because I find them interesting.
Yeah, but stuff like this can easily just be a wolf, dog, anything really, but it's those traits like the glowing red eyes, which, you know, do make it kind of odd. Because you could have some sightings just be a normal dog, and, you know, others being a black shark.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that the sightings that are outside of East Anglia are most likely large dogs, but when you get into those black shuck type, the ones that are changing shape or have this more supernatural quality about them, that's where you get into the more supernatural, and it's harder to understand what people are saying.
Yeah.
Did you have anything else on them?
No, I didn't get as much as I thought I did. I didn't think a page would be enough, so.
Oh, hey, I just found another sighting.
Oh, really?
This is like a little random one. Okay, Tom Starlings saw him, and this is something that I watched on YouTube. So in 1961, they filmed him talking about the sighting he saw, and he said 30 years ago, on a full moon, he was on a bike. And he was just walking his bike along the road, and he just hears chains rattling behind him, and he just thinks that it's like a horse.
Oh yeah, I heard that one.
Do you have that one where he just kind of
black and white video?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like his face when he was explaining it, like that's like something like it wasn't him making something up. It was just like, I saw something that night.
Yeah, I thought he seemed pretty calm about it, though.
Yeah, he just seemed like, at the end of the video, he just like seemed to like stare off into remembering what he had seen. And it's like, his face is kind of just like, I would never want to see that again.
Yeah.
But yeah, he said that it was a form of a big black shaggy dog that passed through a gate. And when he got to that gate, it was locked, and there was no way that a dog could have passed through it.
Yeah.
So I found that interesting.
Yeah, I feel like it's probably the most authentic sighting there is, about all the ones we said about. Maybe not the church ones, but it's definitely the most authentic, I think.
Oh, this one?
Yeah, it's got all the traits of it.
Yeah, it does. It has, because I think he was in, I don't know where he was. All I know is that he was in the area of East Anglia area.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting because that's where a lot of the Black Shuck stories, that's where I picked up that the Black Shuck, or sometimes called Old Shuck or just Shuck, where he had the chains on him.
Yeah, I didn't get anything about the chains, but...
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I was getting a lot of rattling chains.
Makes it seem like more like a hellhound, really.
That's exactly what I was getting at, so I don't know if that was just an offshoot of hellhound lore.
Yeah.
There was also the first printed mention of the Black Shuck was in 1850s in a journal by Reverend E.S. Taylor.
Yeah, I think I've got that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Called it
Notes and Queries, isn't it?
Yeah, Notes and Queries, where he called it the Shuck, the dog fiend.
Yeah, I didn't write that down.
Yeah, but his description was just a black shaggy dog with fiery eyes of immense size who visited churchyards at midnight.
It makes me think of the Grim one now. church
going. Yeah, so that's the other thing, is that we have a lot of people that are migrating into certain areas. They're bringing their folklore with them.
Yeah.
And mashing it up to folklore that's already there.
Yeah, that's quite interesting.
So I found it interesting. I like it.
Yeah, it's probably my favorite cryptid, to be honest.
Yeah, so I don't know if it would be considered a cryptid just because of the supernaturalness of it.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to distinguish it, really.
Mm-hmm. But I do like the folklore surrounding it. And like I mentioned before, I believe I've seen some sort of variation.
Yeah, it does sound like it.
Yeah, I've seen a hound. I don't know if it was just a fairy hound or something, but... And it wasn't fully black either. It was like one of those dark browns and blacks.
Yeah.
And it was during the daylight. So I found that interesting.
It could have just been an oversized dog, but...
Well, that's the other thing. It's like, oh, it was most likely a dog, but it was a very, very fast dog then.
Yeah. I think that's everything, really, about it. Unless you got any more.
I don't have any more.
Yeah, there's not really much outside the whole Bungay stuff.
Yeah, no, that was definitely the biggest thing. I did find out that there was an East Anglian poet and songwriter, Martin Newell, that wrote an epic poem called The Black Shuck.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of just modern day references of the Black Shuck.
Yeah, he's still staying quite relevant.
Mm-hmm. Not as many sightings anymore, is what I've been seeing.
I mean, there's a few, but they're kind of minor. They're not really.
Yeah, just like not like big. Like no just big,
minor sightings.
Yeah, just like, oh, I saw it cross the road or something like that.
Yeah, shame really. But yeah, that's everything I've got.
Do you have anything else on them?
No, not at all.
Okay, me neither. So, where can listeners, do you have any Instagram or anything like that, or
just
social media?
Your Schnack page.
Your Schnack page, okay, so they can find you there. What is your page about?
Just anything really. Okay, facts, cryptids, paranormal. I don't really do true crime, though.
Awesome. Neither do I.
Yeah.
That's what I liked about your page.
Yeah.
And, of course, listeners can find me at Instagram at Toadstools and Garlic Cloves. But I think we can wrap it up. And
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's been great talking about it, really.
This is awesome. I like it. I like that you're my first guest host.
Well, I love this. My first podcast.